a couple things that, that took me a long time to figure out. There's this very, there's these two opposing forces of like make good shit and then make lots of shit, that you have people on both sides. I tend to be on the make lots of shit category. But these are two apparent extremes that sit where the magic is in the middle. And so we've referred internally as this middle spot as qualium, which is how do we create quality volume? And if you guys haven't read this book, it recently, I think it recently came out. It's called The Algorithm. It's from Tesla's former president who kind of reimagined some of their stuff. And basically it's Elon's approach to manufacturing anything, right? And so if you think about what content creation is, it's a manufacturing process. It's digital manufacturing, but you're taking a raw input of just like recording some video, and then there's an output, which is going to be a post on social media or multiple posts on social media. They're going to get views, likes, shares, leads, etc., right? And so the five steps of algorithm, and I'll walk you through them. I made this mandatory for all the people who report to me, because this is the process that I first heard about this 2 years ago from some interview that Elon did, and I was like, man, this is really good. They finally came out with a book on it. So let me just walk you through it, and then we'll get into content questions, all right? So the first step is question the requirements, and I'll give you an example. So I say, okay, why does it take, and the first great way to know that something is taking way too long is to say, how much actual time are you working on the thing? So whether this is client work, or this is like you're doing home services and you're working on a project, whatever it is, like there's a certain amount of work that that has to be done, right? Now, let's say the total time on task or total time that the work is being done is say 10 hours, right? But all of a sudden you're like, but then why is it taking us a week to get this delivered, right? It should, in a perfect world, go from they sign and then 10 hours later they get, right? So everything that's outside of 10 hours is waste from a business perspective, because it's basically uncaptured potential value, all right? And so the idea when we ask the first step is when we question the requirements is like, why must these things happen in this order? Why are we doing all these requirements? Why must it take this long, et cetera, right? And so with the questioning of the requirements, one of the things that came up, I was like, okay, they're like, well, one of the things that we do in these 10 hours, for example, is that we color grade, right? And I was like, okay, do we think color grading even fucking matters? And if we look at some of the best videos that I have, they weren't color graded, and there's some absolute bombs that are color graded. And I'm like, okay, so how much time is this? And is it a requirement? Who decided that we must color grade everything? What God on the throne of YouTube and Instagram said that color grading was super important? The answer is there wasn't really one, right? So we remove color grading from our process step. And it's like, what else can we cut, right? And so the idea is, once you figure out all the requirements that exist, we have to question the requirements. And I'll give you the three-step questions that I asked. This is not Elon's, which is, what does that mean? How do you know that? So what? Right, so we have to color grade. Okay, what does that mean? It means we have to do all the shit to the video. Okay, now that you say that, so what? Do we have any evidence, right, that this is going to do anything to the video? No, we have no evidence. All right, so why should I care? There isn't. And so when I question the requirements, I ask those two questions. What does that mean? How do you know that? And so what? Right, once we have that, it's like, boom, that's the first thing. When you have the answer to all those questions and requirements, and you say, okay, well, let's just delete a shitload of stuff. And one of Elon's rules of thumb is, we should delete so much that we have to add stuff back, which is a great litmus test, because everyone's always afraid of deletion, because everyone's afraid of like messing something up, but you can always add stuff back. It's very unlikely that in a process, especially when you're building something, that it's an irreversible door. You know what I mean? It's not like you're gonna blow up a machine you have, or you're like, you know, one of your editors is gonna disappear from the planet. No, it's like the step in the process that we can add back if we want to. Let's just see what happens. And so when I first started doing this, you might've seen this video that I posted on YouTube, which was, it was like, if you're broke, watch this or something like that. Which I guess that's every fucking video on YouTube, but whatever. I won't rant on that. Whatever, I'll let that go. But it was me on a plane, and I did it with an iPhone. And I did it that way because I was so angry, to be honest. I was a little peeved at the team because they were like, we have to do all these things. And thankfully, almost all that team is not with us anymore. So when we did the video, right, and we posted it, it became a Mondo 1 out of 10 video, because the thing that mattered is the stuff in the fucking video, right? And so everyone wants to major in the minors, right? Which is part of the reason that I'm doing these raw videos like this, because like, it was never about the fucking production. Right? And some of you guys are worried about your makeup for the girls, right? Or the lighting, or to be fair, this is an epic background, so this is probably a little off. But like, most of the time, my background looks absolute dog shit and is either you know, blurry in my Death Star of a production center, which I also hate, but, or it's in my office, which looks horrible, right? And so my point is this, is that like the thing that matters is the stuff inside. It's the stuff inside of the content. The content is the container, right? The stuff inside is what matters. And so if you don't have the stuff, like focus on the stuff, that's where the quality comes from. The volume is like how much stuff I'm going to put out. All right. So number one, what we question the requirements. Here's our big list of shit. Number two, we delete the stuff that doesn't matter. We should delete so much that we have to add stuff back later. Three is simplify. Another way of saying that is optimize. What do we get the most for the least? So even though something might give us a return, let's say color grading gives us a return. I'll just make it up. And let's say we can prove that, which we can't. But let's say we can prove it. Okay. If we can prove it, is it worth it? Right? Which is a separate question. Is it worth it? So we can get, let's say the total thing takes 10 hours. Okay. Let's say four of those hours are color grading. All right. Is it 40% of the quality of the output? No. Is it 5%? Maybe. Is it worth 40% of the costs? My argument? No. I would rather, because we have to put the opportunity cost, if my team had nothing else to edit, then it would make sense to take the extra time. But they have so much other stuff to edit, and it would make more sense for us to do two videos or one and a half videos at 95% than one video at 100. All right, so hear me on that. After simplifying or optimizing most for the least, then you go to step four, which is accelerate. How do you pull up timelines? I'll give you my version of doing this when I'm in a meeting. So anybody who's worked with me knows that I like to finish meetings with who, what, when. And so it's my very simple management algorithm. That's about it. Everything else you can learn from Layla. But these three, this is what I do. And so at the end of a meeting, I'm like, who, what, when, right? Who is going to do what by when? Very, very simple, right? And here's where if you want to go to the 201 level, whenever someone tells you the by when, you actually ask the question I started with, which is, okay, today's Monday, and you want to do this by next meeting next Monday. How much actual time is this going to take? Time on task. And so people will be like, I think it'll take me 4 hours. It's like, okay, what are you doing in the next 4 hours that is more important than this? A lot of times the answer is nothing. In which case, great, do it by today and let me know. And so if you ever want to speed up the movement of a team, increase communication cycles. So that means instead of going end of week, go end of day. It's 7x is the speed of a team. You will be amazed at how much more you get done. So who, what, when? So who's going to do what by when? And then when they tell you when, you ask, why can't you do it earlier? Now, to be clear, if someone says, I got this other shit that's going on that you told me to do, right? You're like, oh, yeah, I did tell you to do that. Then it's like, great, we'll do that after that, right? And then that way, that constant accountability just drives the whole thing forward. And so I promise you, if you want a project to go faster, ask for updates every day, twice a day, five times a day, every hour. I'm telling you, like, I've done this with vendors too. So if I'm like, hey, I need this thing. And they're like, okay, cool. We'll get it to you tomorrow. I'll just call them in an hour and be like, hey, what's our progress update on that? And they're like, I said, I'll get it to you. I'm like, this is very important to me. Like, can we please get this done sooner? And then you call them again in an hour. They're like, dude, I'll fucking get it done. It's like, right. So I will force the accountability on a vendor if I need to pull shit forward. And so that's the fourth step, is how do we pull up cycles? How do we take what the expected timeline is and then reduce it? And then, and this is the big one, which AI has destroyed for everyone. Step five is automate, which is, okay, how do I get the machines to do it? Now, here's the magic behind this. Because the access to AI has become so prevalent and so easy for everyone, everyone thinks in the first step, the last step first. They try and automate shit that should not be done to begin with. With like, because the only thing that is more efficient than automation is elimination. Is choosing not to do something is more efficient than automating it, because it wasn't worth to do it to begin with. And so the easiest limit test for many of you people, for many of you, is though I am using AI, are we getting more views? Though I'm using AI, are we getting more leads? Though I'm using AI, am I making more money? And so it is the very easy litmus test to tell you whether or not this is actually makes sense. And so I will promise you that Claude or, you know, Anthropic or, you know, OpenAI, etc. Claude and Anthropic are the same company, but, you know, the company's doing the billing, right? Gemini, whatever. If they're billing you, they're billing you whether what you built was useful or not. And so if you're noticing your tokens costs going up month over month over month, but your money is not going up month over month over month, maybe you should consider that you're actually just blowing money on shit that doesn't matter. And so you maybe should start with that process of the algorithm. All right. Question the requirements. Delete all stupid requirements. Simplify, aka optimize, get the most for the least. Speed up cycles, how do we do it faster? And then finally, then and only then, do we bring up automation. Because then you're automating something that has already been maximized for effectiveness, and now you're just getting the last bit of effectiveness out of it, which is getting the robots to do it for you. All right, with that being said, we've worked on our content a lot. This is the year of the trust economy. I think I called this at the end of last year, and I feel like I'm more right. I think it aged like a fine wine. We're in the show me times, not the tell me times. All right. And so that means that you need to demonstrate expertise in as many varied conditions as possible with as many diverse avatars, or rather the avatars that represent most broadly the types of customers that you serve, solving the specific problems that they have in the way that you want to solve them, that gets them the outcome they're looking for. All right. That is content from an education perspective that drives commerce. That is content that drives commerce. That is views that turn into cash, right? If you're just getting, you're like doing memes or doing entertainment, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that you're just a media business and eventually you're going to sell eyeballs to an advertiser, right? But if you want to sell from your own shit, right? Sell your own shit. You want to sell a community-owned school. You want to sell fencing services. You want to sell home design. You want to sell solar, whatever the hell you're selling. Education is the door, right? That is how you gain influence. That is how you gain authorities, that you give people instructions that they can follow and good shit happens for them. Now, in order for them to follow your instructions, there's a couple things that have to happen. Number one, the instructions have to be easy to follow, right? Which means you got to talk in words other people understand, right? Number two, they have to believe you that they are worth following. So if we decrease the comprehension, we decrease the cost of at least understanding what to do, right? Then we have to increase conviction that they're going to get the payoff, which makes the risk or the gamble of taking those actions worth it, right? And so this is why the proof in this trust economy world is not in the pudding, but it is the fucking pudding, right? The reason that proof is what matters more than anything is because tell me how you're going to grow my e-commerce store except you've never run an e-commerce store, right? Tell me how you're going to teach me how to sell except you've never sold anything. Tell me how you're going to help me make content but you don't have a personal brand. Right? Like, it's just the big obvious shit. And I get these questions all the time. Like, how do I build a personal brand? It's like, just do shit. You will get a bigger personal brand by doing shit in reality for 5 years and then starting your personal brand. Now, to be clear, I think if you want to document along the way, as long as you state the facts and tell the truth, you're good. You're good in my book. Right? But what happens is people are like, how do I counter imposter syndrome? I'm like, bro, imposter syndrome is you feeling ashamed for lying. Oops, there we go. Is you feeling ashamed for lying because you are misrepresenting the truth. Sorry, I'm trying to adjust this thing so it's not fucked up. Here we go. Is you misrepresenting the truth, Jesus? This is why we can't have nice things. Hold on. Fucking good enough. Let's see if that works. All right. And so I'll give you an example of this whole imposter syndrome thing that you could probably just abolish from your mental whatever. Here it is. So I had a guy who came up to me at one of our workshops in Vegas, and so he was like, "Hey man, how do you deal with imposter syndrome?" I was like, "All right, what do you sell, man?" He said, "I help agency owners get booked appointments." And I was like, "Okay, how do you do it?" And he's like, "We run outbound teams." I was like, "Okay, that makes sense. I get it." I was like, "So what are you dealing with imposter syndrome for?" And he's like, "Well, you know, I had an agency, but the agency didn't really work that well. I didn't really make any money with it because I knew how to get customers, but I couldn't really keep them." And I was like, "Okay, still trying to figure out where the imposter syndrome is coming from." And he was like, "Well," I was like, "Are you pretending like you're good at running an agency?" And he was like, "Kinda." And I was like, "Yeah, bro, that imposter syndrome is lying. So yeah, you should feel bad about lying, okay?" I was like, "But if you told the truth, it probably would be even more effective. If you just said, hey, I had an agency, I sucked at running an agency, I was really good at selling agency clients, and so then I said, well, why don't I just do that for agency owners who are actually good at delivering for clients? And then this business was born." Everyone would be like, "Oh, that actually makes a lot of sense." And so what you forget is that the truth is the most compelling thing out there from a marketing perspective. The reason that state the facts and tell the truth is the number one thing that we say at acquisition.com in marketing is because it sells the most. The truth sells the most. I will say this again. The truth sells the most. The truth converts, all right, above everything else. But it has to be the whole fucking truth, all right? It has to be the whole truth. And so he can't say, just half of the story. You have to say all the shit where you look bad too. And then people will believe the shit where you look good. That's the whole game, right? I got asked a bunch of times throughout my career. They're like, so should, I think I was on Diary of a CEO. And he's like, Alex, should people talk to you about happiness? I'm like, no, that's not, I don't have authority there. All right. I'm the like, hey, you're trying to figure out how to scale your business. That's me. You're like trying to figure out how to sell shit. That's me. I can help you there. I got a lot of proof there. Real quick, I'm going to show you the exact 10-stage roadmap from zero to 100 million plus that less than 1% of companies finish. I've now done multiple times. And so I can say with a lot of confidence that these are the stages as headcount increases that you need to get through. And I broke each of these down by 8 different functions of the business, what the constraint feels like what are the symptoms of it when you're going through it, and then what steps we actually took to graduate. And we've done this across software, physical products, service businesses, brick and mortar, all of this. And it works. And it's my gift to you. It's absolutely free. And so the link's in the description, but you just go acquisition.com/roadmap, just enter your info and it'll spit it right back to you, all free.